Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, we're going to be reading just the first 8 verses of this chapter. First Timothy 2, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given in the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we are continuing to talk about holiness in our personal lives, focusing on holiness in our relationship to God. And I said last week, as we entered this second half of the holiness series, that I would be saying nothing profound to you during this section. And the same is true tonight. We're going to talk about very basic things, very regular things, very normal things, but reminders of how God calls us to pursue holiness with Him. Last time we talked about holiness and the Word of God and the necessity of a regular intake of that Word, how we have such easy access to the Word of God and that there is blessing in not only hearing it, but living out the truth of that Word. Tonight, we're going to talk about holiness and prayer. Prayer, something so simple, yet so powerful. Something so powerful, yet so intimate. Prayer is speaking to God Himself. Sometimes I think when we have something so common, perhaps some of us grew up praying regularly around the table or before bed or whatever it might be, when we have something so regular, so common, we forget its significance. In prayer, we are speaking to God Himself. We are speaking to the God who is the creator of the universe, who formed all things by the word of His mouth, who continues to uphold all things by His powerful providence. In prayer, we speak to God, the God of the universe. And God has granted us that wonderful privilege. As a child speaks to their father, so we as children of God are welcomed to speak to Him in prayer. Paul talks about prayer in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We looked at this text not so long ago in our morning service, in our series on the Canons of Dort. We are not going to deal with some of those words like God wants all to be saved. We dealt with that before. Our focus tonight is really going to be on verse 1 and on verse 8. Paul's call that we be people of prayer, holiness and prayer. I think one of the most common questions that we ask when we consider praying to God is the basic question, why pray at all? If God is a sovereign God, if God does all things well, if God is going to work out his perfect plan, then why do we even bother praying? Do our prayers make any difference at all? Now, tonight, I'm not going to try to fully explain the relationship between our prayers and God's perfect will and sovereignty, but rather look at a number of biblical examples to remind us that our prayers do make a difference. Even if we can't fully articulate how that works, we see this throughout the Scriptures. I think of a text like 2 Chronicles 6. In 2 Chronicles 6, this is the dedication of the temple. We read in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 19, "Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open day and night toward this house, the place where you have promised to set your name, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the pleas of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, and listen from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." That was the heart of Solomon's prayer. When you hear, forgive. That theme plays itself out through the rest of his prayer. Hear from heaven and forgive. And the very next chapter, 2 Chronicles 7, we read this. "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive.'" God promises to do exactly what Solomon had asked. There is a connection between the prayer and God's answer to the prayer. We think of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. After Nebuchadnezzar reveals his dream to Daniel and Daniel and his friends get together, we read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to his friends and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you.'" God answers the prayer of Daniel and his friends. "You have made known what we have asked of you." There is a connection between the prayers being prayed and God's answer to those prayers. We think of a text in the New Testament. We think of the book of James. In James chapter 5, we read this: "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working." Prayer changes things. We cannot perhaps parse exactly how that works with God's perfect will, but prayer makes a difference. And sometimes God answers our prayers so quickly that it is surprising to us. Again, back in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, they are asking God to bless his people. Daniel's asking God, "Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant, to his pleas for mercy, and for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolation, the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because of your city and your people who are called by your name." Then listen. "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of eating sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, 'Oh, Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved.'" As he's praying, God sends the answer to his prayer. Sometimes God answers so quickly, it surprises us. Sometimes God answers, and we just don't believe it. I think of the story in Acts chapter 12, after Peter has been freed from prison. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together, and they were praying. So Peter's been released. And he knocked at the door of the gateway. A servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so and kept saying, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. They were praying for Peter's release. Peter's knocking at the door, and they're amazed that God has answered. There is an intimate connection between our prayers and the work of the sovereign God to answer them and to work his purpose out. Our prayers do have meaning. They have value before God. And even if they didn't, we would still pray because God has commanded it. God allows it, and God requires it. We pray by divine command. Again, from our text, verse 1, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people." I urge you to do that. That word urge is something of an understatement. The word has a military context. It is like a superior giving an order to an inferior. I urge you to do this. No, you have to. That's the sense of what's going on here. God calls us. He allows us. He commands us to pray to him. Then in verse 8, "I desire then that in every place men should pray lifting holy hands." I desire it. This is God's desire, that we should pray to him. Prayer is an act of obedience, an act of obedience to God. He calls us to pray to him, and we are to pray to him. This is a part of our holiness in our walk with God. Our confession reminds us in the Heidelberg Catechism, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness that God requires of us. It is our response to Him. Prayer is commanded by God. Prayer does change things because God is sovereign. And He perfectly works His will and our prayers, even if we can't fully explain, understand, or articulate it. We are called, as a part of our holiness, to spend time in prayer. Now, there is no bad way to pray. Paul talks in verse 1 about giving supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings, reminding us that there are various types of prayer. I said there are no bad ways to pray, but sometimes it helps to have a structure for our prayers. And tonight, again, I want to be very, very basic and very, very practical, but very, very hands-on, to talk about a structure that I use in my own prayers. I would encourage it to you. It is not original with me by any means. There was a handout in the back of church. If you didn't pick one up on the way in, there should be more on the way out. Using the acronym of ACTS for our prayers with God, A-C-T-S, it's a helpful way to give structure to our prayers. ACTS, the letter A, adoration. Praising God simply for who He is. Very often in our prayers, we want to get right to who we are and what we need. But adoration reminds us, we are talking to God. We are talking to the God of the universe. And so we begin by declaring His glory, telling God His greatness, praising Him simply for who He is. One of the wonderful ways to do that is to use the Psalms. The Psalms give glory and honor and praise to God. To take the Psalms on our lips, to adore God, adoring Him for who He is, simply in Himself. Adoration. After seeing God's greatness, His glory, His majesty, we move on to confession, the C of ACTS. Confession. Confession of our own sin. This is not a time for morbid introspection. It is a time for an honest appraisal. We know that God is perfect. He is holy, He is righteous, and we have fallen short of His holy standards in our lives. We are honest with God about our sin. He knows it already, but He calls us to be honest with Him, confessing our sins to Him. And even as we do that, we're reminded, we're driven already to the foot of the cross. We're driven already to Jesus Christ, to the one who in His sacrifice has removed all of our sins. We confess our sins to God and we plead the mercy of Christ, knowing He has done everything required to wash us completely. We plead on His sacrifice. We plead on His righteous life. That Christ's righteousness might continue to be credited to us, that God might see us not only as no longer sinners, but see us as perfect as Christ was perfect. We plead, Jesus Christ. Our confession is not to wallow in ourselves, but it drives us to Christ. It drives us to recognize God's faithfulness in His promise to forgive His people. Adoration, confession. Thanksgiving. And I think as I consider my own prayer life, this is perhaps where we can fall short at times. Failing to thank God for all that He has done for us, for all that He has given us. Again, it is so easy to focus on those things we want to need, we want to ask from God, but first reflect on all He has already done, and thank Him for that. Thank Him for meeting our physical needs, giving us this day our daily bread. Thanking Him for all the blessings He provides us, the blessing of family, the blessing of church, the blessing of all the material things He gives to us. Saying thank you to God. Saying thank you to God for all that he has done, recounting his faithfulness. It's so easy for us to become very myopic in our view and to only look at what's happening right now, but to recount how God has been our God in the past. And we trust he will be our God in the future, so we can rely on him today, thanking God for what he has done. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Having reflected upon the majesty of God, having recognized who we are and what Christ has already done for us, having thanked God for everything he has given to us, now we are ready. Now we are ready to bring our petitions to him. Again, this is so often where we want to start. But there is value in reflecting upon God, knowing who we are, thanking him for what he has done, and now we bring our requests. And even when we bring our requests, I would suggest we do that first for others. That's what Paul says. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position. Pray for others. Pray for their needs first. For those who are known to us. We have the prayer list in the bulletin every Lord's Day. I hope you take that home and put that wherever you have your prayer time, wherever you have your quiet time, put that list there and regularly pray for others, recognizing that there are others who are struggling with issues, others who are perhaps far worse off than we are. And then we're ready to pray for our needs. Oh, it is good for us to bring our needs to God. He knows them even before we ask, but he tells us, tell me what you need, tell me what you desire, tell me what you want. We come to him then, and we bring to him the desires of our hearts. It is not the only structure for prayer. There are other structures for prayer, but I think it's a helpful structure to keep things in proper perspective. Again, I know myself, I want to go right to, this is what I want, God. This is what I want, God. But there's value in first reflecting on who he is, what he has done already, thanking him for all of that, and then seeing clearly to bring our requests to him. God is the one who answers our prayers. And we can be absolutely sure he will do that. We are not just throwing out petitions, hoping something will happen, but we can have confidence that God does hear us and God does answer us. He does that not because of our eloquence in prayer. I know people who can pray very eloquently, and that's a wonderful gift. It's a blessing to hear those prayers. I had a professor in seminary who prayed the most beautiful prayers before Hebrew class. But God doesn't hear us because of our eloquence. Sometimes we can barely get the words out. We stammer to bring God what's in our heart. God doesn't hear us because we're such good people. God hears us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Kids, that's why at the end of our prayers, we say, hear us for Jesus' sake. Or we pray this in Jesus' name. God doesn't hear us because of who we are. He hears us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given in the proper time. Jesus is the mediator of the covenant. Jesus is the one who stands between God and man. He is the one who secures our salvation by his death and by his life. And that same mediator of the covenant is also our intercessor. He is our great high priest. He is the one to whom we turn. He is the one who calls you tonight to put your faith and trust and hope in him. And know that when you do that, when you know that high priest as your Savior, That high priest is also your intercessor, the one who brings your petitions to God. He continues that high priestly work of making intercession for the sake of his people. We think of the words in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, we read this: "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Our Savior is also our intercessor, the one who is bringing our petitions, bringing our prayers to God himself. We think of the words in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7, verse 23. "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death for continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus will never cease to be the intercessor of his people. He will never tire in bringing our prayers to God the Father, but he will continue in that beautiful, wonderful, high priestly role, not only as a sacrifice for sin, but as the one who intercedes for each and every one of his own. Holiness and prayer. A very simple thing, but truly an awesome thing. Prayer, as we are allowed, welcomed, to call out to the God of the universe. And this speaking to God is not just for adults. It is not just for the elders. It's not just for the ministers. It's for all of us. Children, it is for you. You can pray to God. You can talk to the God of the universe, and he will hear your prayers. Something so simple, but something so wonderful. God hears the prayers of all of his people. And so this call to holiness and prayer comes to all of us, that God would encourage us in our prayers, would help us in our prayers, would give us a greater desire to spend time with him, pouring out our hearts with everything that we have inside of us, praying for our needs, praying for others' needs, adoring him for who he is, confessing our sins, thanking him for all, and that God would bless this time to us. Again, when we have something so, I would use the word common, it's easy for us to take it for granted. It's easy for us not to do it at all. But God welcomes you. God welcomes you to express your love for him, to pursue holiness by spending time in prayer. Let us pray to God now. Lord our God, you are great, you are glorious, you are majestic. You are the God who is enthroned in heaven, and we praise you, O God, for who you are. We recognize we are those in ourselves who are fallen and sinful. We have no right to come to you in ourselves, and so we plead the work of Jesus Christ. We plead his perfect death on the cross, that in that you would wash us from all of our sins. We plead his life of righteousness, that you would see us as obedient as he was obedient for us. Thank you, O God, for all the blessings you provide. All the blessings you provide us physically, all the blessings you provide us spiritually, all the blessings you provide us again and again and again. We thank you and we praise you. We ask, O God, that you would meet the needs of all your people. Meet the needs of those who are far from us, for those who are near to us, who are in our families, who are known to us. Meet those needs, O God, and we pray you would meet our needs as well. Thank you, O God, for this glorious privilege. Thank you for this wonderful avenue to speak to the God of the heavens and the earth as we call out to you. Hear our prayer, O God, not because of who we are, but hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.